Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 463. My name is Chris Ricchio and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hey, that's me. Hi.
And Travis Baum.
Kanbanwa, Ricchio Senpai.
What's senpai? Up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I get the senpai title.
You get
nice.
The senpai. Yeah.
Nice.
Please notice
Hi.
Me.
Hi. How you doing?
Hey, Jason.
Hey.
It's a good day. Hi, Jason.
A. Stryker-kun.
Hey. Yes.
We got, today we got some games to talk about.
Indeed.
And I'm not sure we have much else than that.
That's fine.
That's it might be a pretty short show.
Yeah, sometimes I just like to sit back and talk video games.
Right. Yeah, I think we're just going to talk games today. I've got a couple. Anybody got something to start with? I don't really have.
I got
nothing new on this end.
I got a lot. I got a lot going on.
Well, what's
talking
on?
About intros?
What's
going are we talking on? About personal
yeah, yeah.
lives and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
I'm not
what's
talking about
on,
half.
Travis?
I'm not talking about half the shit that's going on in my life right now. But things are going good, guys. Things are going well.
Good.
I'm happy. I don't know, man. It's things are picking up.
I'm my glad seasonal, to hear that.
My seasonal I know that, depression I know is lifting. It's good. Getting warmer over here.
Good.
The medication that I'm on is working mighty fine.
I
no, it's
you.
everything's it's looking up. If I can just, you know, get that employment thing figured out, we'll be aces across the board. So
I feel you.
Yeah, I know, right? We got into video and content creation. That was that was dumb. What a dumb idea. We should have done better in math.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Hey, I did pretty good in math.
Well, yeah.
Except that's not your point, damn it. Yeah.
No,
well, I'm glad that you're doing better, man.
Yes, things are going well, man.
You know, I know the last couple of weeks have been rough, so I'm glad to hear that things are on the up and up. The only thing that I kind of wanted to throw out there is that had some really good talks with my boy recently, my son.
Oh, good.
You know, I think I mentioned may have mentioned on the show that he was he got into Innovation Academy,
you
which
did,
is essentially a magnet like STEM school. That's a charter school. So we got to have like his rising ninth grader. Fuck, he's in ninth grade, guys.
Can you believe that?
Like, we started the show like he was born like 2 years into the show, two or three years.
I lived a full life before ninth grade, partially because I took eighth grade twice, but whatever.
But yeah, he got to come and check out the school. The school is gorgeous. I was really happy about that. They have a
magnet
big
schools are nice.
They have a big ass theater. I'm like, oh man, this is right up your alley. Like, apparently they have fencing clubs and stuff like that. So that's all going to be pretty good for him. But you know, we were straight with him. We said, this is going to be a lot of work. I mean, you're going to be busy doing this stuff. But he seems to want to stick to Innovation Academy. He seems to like the direction it's going. The way they do the school is interesting because they give the kids, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's like there's like a GT special period or something like that. And it's essentially it throughout the year, it's three classes in one. They do almost like a pre-med type thing where they go into some of that stuff, and then they go into engineering and they go into like IT, and it allows the kids to kind of get a taste of each of them. And then they choose one and they get to kind of focus on it. So really cool stuff there too. And very, it seems like there's a lot of project-based stuff.
Yeah.
Is
he going to do any of that pre-med stuff? Because you don't have to really, you don't have to worry about it, Chris, because they don't bring the cadavers in until 11th grade.
Right. So no, I honestly, he was very adamant that he didn't want to do any of that, that he wasn't going to choose it. And I said, and my wife and I were both like, listen, buddy, you never know what you're going to do until you try different things. Because I told him, like, straight up, when I went to high school, I was 100% I'm going to be an engineer. And then I got to college and I took a couple of computer courses and I'm like, fuck, this is for me. Like, programming is where it's at. So that's like completely changed my major and did all that stuff. That just revamped my entire college career. Right. So, you know, so we were just saying, just go in with an open mind, make sure you think about it. And then, you know, he's going to be 14 next month. So like him and I started talking about jobs, getting a job and saving for a car. Mm-hmm. And due to my position and the fact that they give me a company car, I actually have to buy a car this year. So I'm actually looking at cars with him. And I'm like, all right, so this is what we're going to do, but I'm not buying him a car. I'm basically meeting him halfway because, like, in my perspective, you know, I feel like this could go like straight growing up, or all grown up, however you want to do it. But from my perspective, like my mom and I, it was just us. We didn't have a whole lot. We didn't have a lot of money. I got a job at 14 because I needed to, like she needed help paying the bills. Right. And I saved money on the side. So my first car was like a $600 81 Honda Civic piece of shit.
Been there.
Like I bought it and it needed brakes immediately. Like when they brought the car, you could hear metal on metal. I'm like, oh, this is awful. but I also understand that at 14 getting a job, that's what taught me responsibility. Like that's where I learned really like what I needed to do to move forward in life. So I want him to do that, but I also want to help him with the car. So he and I have worked out an agreement where, you know, for every dollar he saves, I'm going to match it. Cool. And then, if he buy, like I, because of the vehicle program that I'm in, since I have to buy a car, if he buys that car from me, I'll give him an even better benefit.
Sure.
So I'm actually looking at to buy a car this year, and I'm looking with him because the goal is for him to buy that car from me when he's 16. So lots of good conversations this weekend. It was it's actually been a really, really good past few days, especially when, you know, he's still having a lot of trouble in middle school socially. Right. So, you know, just trying to help him get through all this shit.
Good, man. That's
middle school sucks,
good.
Dude. Just, oh, I know. Middle school sucks. Yep.
That was the worst for
middle
me.
Middle school sucks. But yeah, let's talk some games. Jason, you have anything before we get into games, or are you ready for games?
No, I'm ready for games. Let's go.
All right, cool. I think we only have like two games we're going to talk about. Which one
Travis
do we want to talk
like
about first?
Four games, but he didn't have Does the he? Most important game. God damn it.
I don't have
well, Travis, why
game.
Don't you go first then? What do you got, man?
Let me go ahead and just get Final Fantasy VII out of the way since you guys have talked about it last week
I
didn't play much of it, so I do have a couple of things that I want to throw in there. So go for it.
So I finished it. It took about 100.
Oh, Jesus Christ, guys!
I think it was 102. You got to understand something, Chris. On this new medication, I go to sleep pretty good, but I wake up after 3 hours and I'm up pretty much the rest of the day. So
so you're
starting
just a
at 3 a.m.
power nap. You just do power naps now.
I don't even do that. I don't even do that, man. I am fried like the end of a cigarette butt. Okay, I am toasted. So, Final Fantasy, I loved it. I mean, it's not a perfect game for me by any stretch of the imagination, but I was in smiles for the vast majority of this because this game does a great job of melding nostalgia with breaking edge
new stuff. Yeah,
gameplay and technology and stuff like that. And I am so happy to have played this game. I feel I'm a better gamer for it. And this will be one of my favorites. I don't know of all time, but it'll be one of my favorites for a very, very long time. I love where JRPGs are at right now, this generation. Final Fantasy
III this year.
That's
already.
Insane.
That's crazy. That like that's more than like, man. When was the last time you completed three in 1 year, let alone just a few months?
Yeah, it's barely been 3 months so far, and I've got three under my belt. That's nuts. Yeah, they're in a very good spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the first thing that you notice when you're playing this game is, you know, how beautiful the presentation is throughout the majority of this game. And I would say for about 95% of the game, I love every single thing about how this game is presented. I think the story does a good job of fleshing out a lot of storyline, big key storyline or story moments that didn't get that much love in the original, you know, decades ago. But now they take the time and really flesh it out, introduce new characters into the mix, and they make things make more sense. And then sometimes, of course, they do their deviations from the original plot. I feel like they only do a couple of major deviations this time around.
It's tough because, you know, there's the one big thing that we're all kind of waiting for, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, do they go this way or do they go that way?
Right.
And they kind of swerved a little bit at the end of the first game, saying that anything's on the table now. Yeah. So it's like it could go either way, essentially.
Yeah. Jason and I talked off air, and we can't really go into specifics, but we're not huge fans of maybe like the last hour of that game.
It's tough. Like I don't want to dissuade anyone from playing it because I think it's important, but
Please check there's still a whole nother game of story to tell. It could pay itself off. We don't know, but this is Tetsuya Nomura. He is known for going batshit crazy, and I heard that this game gets Nomura'd pretty good, and we're up to the final hour of this game, and I'm like, I understand everything, and then nope. So it does kind of
well, I'll tell you, the first hour of that game, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, so
it's like one of the most like key moments of the entire Final Fantasy VII series.
The
beginning. Nibelheim. Yeah. That's a pivotal moment.
Yeah. Yeah. That picture.
But that all happened. That was
flames behind him. Yeah. Hell yeah.
From the moment they're in the back of the truck, Cloud is a carbon copy doing exactly what he did in the PS1 game. It is really, really great. Going back to the deviations, like in the middle, there's a major deviation. And I love what they did. Like they change characters. They change an event that happens to a character. And I thought it completely worked. I thought it opened up the world and explained not just characters, but like creatures a lot more. And I got a little bit of a better understanding. So I love those additions. I love those deviations. Like Jason said, everything's on the table and I'm kind of here for that, except when they do tropes that I feel at today. And Jason agrees that like they're just kind of being overused right now. Yep. I said this with Final Fantasy 16, and I feel foolish for saying this now. I said Final Fantasy 16 was my favorite Final Fantasy soundtrack.
Oh,
this blows it out of the water.
Completely and totally. Yeah. It's fucking amazing. And
I got it. Like the soundtrack, it's like you listen to the songs and they're so recognizable that at first you're like, is this the exact song that was in the PlayStation game? And then, you know, you go back and listen and it's not like it's mixed and just like tuned and they did a lot of like, they kept everything very faithful and then just really tuned the music to be amazing.
But the music, so there's such a variety to the music as well. I feel like every region has a different genre of music.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm still in the grasslands, so I don't even know.
Well, just wait. The music is going to it's going to evolve so much more. And wait till you get
to Gungaga. I just got all the recognizable stuff, you know, it's like Chris, early on.
Let me tell you, Gungaga, when you listen to that music, turn off all your lights, light a candle, you will see your future. You'll see your entire future. The song is that good.
Wow.
It's amazing. I love it. I said 16 was my favorite soundtrack, but this takes the cake by every stretch. And of course, like I said, like graphically, like main characters look good. And I was really, really impressed with a lot of that, but that definitely does lead to like one of the big wrinkles with the graphical performance. I still to this day, like the entire time I played the game, I played in 30 frames and I hated it the entire time. Like I was just like, it didn't completely take it away, but I was always well aware that I was playing in 30 frames and I couldn't
let that out of my mind. I'm still on 30 frames right now too.
Oh God. And, how you do
it? I'm afraid to go to 60.
It's so bad on 60. Like there is a clear difference. I am the worst person in the world at looking, doing the thing that Digital Foundry does.
I accepted that for the frame rate. I'm that guy.
It's
sorry.
God, I couldn't, I tried. I swapped it maybe four times. And I gave it like 5-10 minutes.
The first time I switched it to 30 and saw the switch with the right stick, and like I felt ill. Like, I'm done. I'm done.
It's brutal. It is, and this was all post preview patch. I can't imagine what this looked like or how this performed pre-patch when everybody had the preview codes.
Right.
Like, how in the world was this getting perfect tens when it was worse than what it is now, and it's still bad?
Yeah.
So again, not dissuading from playing this game. The game is absolutely amazing, but this is something that is, I bring it up as a disappointment because I'm tired of bringing this goddamn conversation up this generation. And now we're talking about a PS Pro being rumored, it could run NASA by itself for $500 or some shit like that. Like we're already talking about a Pro and we kind of need it right now because it's affecting this isn't necessarily a gripe about Final Fantasy. It's more about the industry.
It's about the technology, right? Yeah. It's about the technology that we're at. And this kind of goes back to, we were talking about this a couple shows ago. It's like right now from a fidelity standpoint, when you think about visual fidelity, it's like we're getting pretty close to that point where it's, you know, you're not getting as much return. From
it's
like
been
trying
diminishing
to
returns for two generations.
I mean, if you look at it, like from PS3 to PS4, that was a pretty big bump. PS4 to PS5, not as big a bump. You know, it's definitely a bump, but not as big. And I really think that PS6 is going to just be, hey, look, we can run all this shit at 60 frames. You know, and then we're going to start talking about, well, where's 120 frames? You know, it's like it's never enough.
I wish the 60 frames per second were strong enough of an argument, but there's so many people that are on the fence with it that are so accustomed to 30 frames, that are so accustomed to ray tracing and shit.
I don't get it.
You look at Jeff. Like Jeff is solidly set on consoles and he is completely and totally fine with 30 frames per second. And he will continue that, I think, into the next generation. I don't think saying we can run all of this shit at 60 frames per second is going to be enough of a selling point to bring people on board. But
I agree.
And that's sad. I don't know. I'm the exact opposite.
I'm with you. Like, I think that it's going to be a tough selling point for the PlayStation 6 when like the actual fidelity of the graphics is not much different. It's just not going to be.
Mm-hmm. So, which I'm okay with.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with it too. Like I buy the consoles for the games. So, you know, as long as they continue to make good games, I'm going to continue to buy the consoles. So, though I did want to kind of swing back around and talk about Queen's Blood for a minute.
Okay. Let's go.
Cuz I got to play it. Okay. And so I only played a couple of games of it, but it's pretty interesting. But
it's fun.
You know what it reminds me of? And Travis, I don't know if you're going to remember this game, but I am almost positive that Jason, you played it. Do you remember Eye of Judgment?
Oh hell yeah!
On PS3,
that was
it. Reminds me so much of that. Like it reminds me so much of that.
Yeah.
it's slightly different because you're just all you're doing is filling the space. Whereas Eye of Judgment, like when you dropped a card, it would attack the things that are in the direction. So. There was more, I won't say there's more strategy because I don't think there is more strategy, but you have more opportunity if you miss the opportunity to grab a space, for instance, you might have a card you can drop that'll take out an enemy and and that space will open up or something like that. If I remember correctly, it's been a while. So, but this is like you drop a card, your card's there. At least that's where I'm at. I don't know if you ever have to get the opportunity to get rid of cards, but
yes,
keep on adding cards to your deck.
No, there are definitely cards.
Well, no, what I mean is when they're on the board, get rid of cards that are on the board.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Yes. That changes things quite a bit.
You eventually start to get cards that have, attacking properties.
Yeah.
Okay. So they can add more pawn pieces to the board, but they can also, remove power, like for instance, like anything that hits this attacking space will lose three hit points. And if they have two hit points, if that card that's affected has two points,
and it goes away,
it'll get destroyed. And then you have the pawn; it gives you a pawn right there, so you can take over.
Oh, it immediately gives you a pawn too. Oh, that's cool. All right, gotcha.
If you destroy their thing, yeah.
So they immediately are blocked from putting a new card there. If they
their turn's next, creature. So there's risk reward.
But if you have a pawn on that spot, if you take out a card and it immediately puts a pawn on that spot, they can't put a card on that spot. They have to get rid of the pawn first.
If they have a card that can reach that spot,
but it's still advantage you. I think at that point.
It's still, yeah, you still have the advantage. And then there are cards that multiply in their own hit point power mm-hmm. every time you destroy cards mm-hmm. or every time that you empower cards, you have a bunch of cards that get stronger too. So like you can change your decks to where you have these empowerment builds or you can have these enfeeble builds where like you gain power and points whenever you destroy cards or even your own cards are destroyed. I played that from start to finish.
I remember you talking about that. You were big on that.
I really, really enjoyed it. That final fight, whew, I'm going to tell you, boys, it will test you. It is a tough one, but the card that you get, the final card, is the most epic thing. Like you'll never lose another match unless you go to Gold Saucer. The Gold Saucer matches are insane. I think this platinum is impossible for like normal people. I say that near quotes. So
not gonna go for it. No,
you have to do everything hard.
Yeah,
yeah.
All the activities, all the gold saucer, everything hard mode.
You can keep it, Ben. I don't need that platinum. I don't need a platinum trophy that bad.
So if you can do that out there, listeners, props to you because I will not even attempt it.
Same.
Yeah. What else?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm still on chapter two. I did all the Chocobo stuff. So now I'm actually exploring the world and like Chadley points out all these things on the map. So I'm jumping to those. I thought the other, what was her name? He apparently programmed into your device, your communication mm-hmm. device, another
AI.
AI.
I forgot it. I think it was like Mai or something like that.
Mai is right. That's right. Her name's Mai. But I was like, okay, that's weird. It's like female Chadley. It's okay. Yep. it's weird.
They needed somebody to counterbalance Chadley.
Yeah, yeah. So far so good. Tifa is super strong.
She's like, the best character in the game. Like hands down. Yeah. No question.
Like, she's not in my main lineup. She's not.
Really?
Yeah, really.
What?
I got Barret. I got Aerith. Aerith is
the hardest hitting character in terms of like sheer damage numbers.
Yeah,
she's insane.
The problem that I'm having using Aerith right now is that when I switch to Aerith, it's like aggro city. Like fucking everyone charges her.
But you've got wards and shit.
Got a ward for that. I know, but you got to put the ward down and then get the fuck out of there. Yeah. But I notice it more with her than like Cloud and Tifa because that's who I'm mainly using right now.
Tifa's the only character that can increase the stagger percentage.
Which I think is super cool. Yeah, that's super killer. Cool.
I really depend on that, but I think I would be remiss.
I didn't know that was a thing. Like I went through all of Remake without knowing you could do that.
Really? Yeah. There are more abilities to do that. Like Tifa is the only person that can do that, but I think that there are synergy moves that can also increase the active time gauge. Now she may be the only person that's involved in those synergies. I'm not sure. I would have to go back and check that.
Yeah,
no. Okay. Yeah, so multiple. There are synergies that do increase the stagger gauge.
Yep.
But I feel like we would be remiss if we really didn't talk about the combat for a little bit, but a couple of things on the combat for me. I love the combat and Remake. So I felt right at home getting back into this. At first I thought the synergies were not going to add too much. I was like, okay, they're just extra moves. And then once you realize all the extra abilities that are hidden within the synergies,
I'm still trying to figure those out,
way more important. They're essentially abilities that you have that you don't have to use active time bars for. So every time you use a spell or ability, you get like a little synergy point. Mm-hmm. All right. So you want to make sure everybody's using their abilities and you get those synergy points. And then once you get 2 to 3 synergy points from everybody by using skills, your synergies will pop up and then you can start using them anytime you want, regardless of your ATB, which is really great. And I started leaning on those hardcore towards end game. So they ended up being a lot more important.
I was never clear when they were available. Like I could see that there were like 3 or 4 points built up, but then Aerith had 2 and I couldn't do any synergy things. So I was confused. It wasn't.
It took a while to get used to.
And there's like, and there's multiple different synergy attack types. Like, there's one where you'll go near a character and hold down block, and it does one thing. And then if you build up the synergy points, and there's a menu item for it, and you can do it that way. Like, I'm still trying to figure that stuff out too. I don't really understand it yet. So.
Are you talking about abilities or skills? Because there's actually two different things.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's like synergy skills and like the abilities are on the menu. Like when you pop up the menu, you can select it, right?
Yep.
But then the skills are like you go up next.
You got to build up.
I didn't really understand it. You walk up next to the person, to the other character, hold down block, and it like brings up a bunch of things, and you hit a button to do a move with them. And I never could get that to work, even in like training mode. It didn't work for me.
I relied on the Cloud and or Tifa or Aerith. It was like an overhand. Like great sword swing, I'd use that for finishers all the time, and it did so much fucking damage.
Infinity's End. God. Infinity End. That's what it's called, right?
Okay, I think so.
Infinity End. It's Cloud's strongest move. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking ridiculous, and it cost.
Yeah, you do two
nothing.
Spins.
It was great.
Oh, it was a synergy. I'm sorry, I was thinking of a skill. I was confused. So
I guess that's kind of the point, is that it's confusing. Yep.
So they, in Remake, there was something that drove me insane, and I was absolutely sure that they were going to fix this bullshit for the sequel. Boys, they did not do that. It's still here. I cannot stand in this game and in Remake when you are taking your time, saving up your abilities, getting ready for that stagger bar.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going.
You stagger them, and then their health's already whittled down, and you immediately, when you start dealing all your damage, because you want to start whittling this health bar down and kill the boss, there's a second phase, and it's cut off at a certain amount of hit points. So you can start your stagger, hit him with like 10% of your barrage.
That cuts off, yeah.
It cuts off, goes to phase two, hits a cutscene, goes to phase two, and then everything resets. Your ATB resets, their stagger resets, you lose everything. It's just, it's damage points, like just dead. And it drives me insane. It happens every boss fight. They gotta fix it on the third game. Like, they have to. Those cutscenes are not that important.
I don't have a problem with that as much as I do with the fact that, like, when they're trying to make a remake of Final Fantasy VII that did a really good job with how ATB works and you know, making sure that everything, like, there was always an opportunity for things to happen. But in VII Remake and in this, it's like, it's very easy to try and kick something off, and then you get knocked out of it, and you just lost all your shit. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in the middle of casting a spell, you lose the ATB bar and you lose all the magic points.
Yeah.
Like, it's all gone. And that's annoying as fuck. Like, I didn't cast the spell. You knocked me out of it. I didn't cast the spell. So I should still have all my shit. Right. So that's just my opinion. But
the magic wasn't in you all along, Chris.
Maybe. I was never very magical, I guess. But yeah, that pisses me off more than anything, to be honest with you.
How are you guys with shortcuts? Because I think they're absolutely essential. You should, because they made it felt like a Devil May Cry game. Like when I was playing Cloud, I had four main controls or main moves on the face buttons and stuff. I felt like I was playing DMC for a lot of it. It was great.
Yeah,
the second they introduced fucking clutch.
Yeah, when they introduced them, I was like, well, let me learn these, and then I never stopped.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Same.
I'll give it a shot.
But that's Final Please Fantasy do. VII. It was good. Chris, I can't wait to hear about like how you feel about it when you get toward the end. It's really interesting.
I'll be honest with you guys. Like, I've been, one of the reasons I've been kind of leaning towards Helldivers a lot is because the sheer amount of stuff that I keep hearing that's in this game is intimidating. So. Mm. I know I'll get through it if I just sit down and start playing it. But it's almost off-putting a little bit how intimidating it is.
I wouldn't say it's as intimidating as like an Assassin's Creed game or anything like that. Like, it's
I never got to a frustrating point. One of the gratifying things, I think, is climbing those towers and only getting like 2 to 3 pips on your map, as right. opposed to like 5 or 6 or 10 or something like nice. That. It's very nice. Manageable. And
or like Horizon, biome, where it's like 24.
Yeah. Seriously. In every biome, you are doing the same thing, essentially, in every biome, but like they only give you 3 to 5 of each thing to do. So right. it's never overstaying its welcome, I don't think.
It's now, very
the
manageable.
One thing,
yeah. That's good.
The one thing that drove me insane was... So I heard that there were a lot of mini games in this, and trust me, now that I've been inside Yakuza, like I'm a huge fan of mini games. They gotta fucking cool it in Final Fantasy with the mini games, dog.
Fucking sit-ups and pull-ups and shit and fucking cannon shots. Oh god.
Exercise bullshit. That was I was not a big fan of
it's
that.
Back. Yeah, I know. It's back. Yeah.
I know. It's like there was like I remember doing those specifically, and it's like you go into and this is from Remake, right? You go into the gym and it lists beat mm-hmm. this person for this, beat this person for this, mm-hmm. and beat this person for a championship belt. And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna beat the first two because that's like functional shit. I don't care about that belt. I'm out. Like yeah. I didn't even bother that with the last good, one.
Chris,
does it do anything for you? Because if it's just
it's an accessory,
I don't give a shit. Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, the championship belt's an accessory. It's I forgot what it does, but like it's one of the major accessories, like with like the ribbon, the Genji gloves, things like that. Okay. They're even okay. You got to like do like ultra hard extreme modes for certain combat challenges with Chadley. But there are 3 items that, or at least one of the items that are like the ultimate items in the game, pushes your damage past 9,999, so you can do 20,000, 30,000 damage. Oh, it's insane. But right. but yeah, that's
good
it.
To know. I didn't realize that. Good stuff.
You guys want to talk Helldivers?
God, I really want to talk about Helldivers. It's
Jesus
so
Christ,
good.
Why is this so good?
Can we
pump the brakes for a second because I'm fucking pissed off at Helldivers. I bought that game because my son wanted to play it with me. I bought it on the fucking PC. We are having cross-platform like friend requests. Bullshit going on. It's been over a week. Fucking Helldivers just put out a statement like today or the day before saying we have successfully reproduced the problem and we'll look into it. It's like this has been going on a week.
I successfully reproduced the problem like 86 times since fucking the game was launched.
Every goddamn time I go into my friends list on PS5, it just sits at a fucking hourglass screen and I can't pull it up.
Oh, no, my favorite is when I can go into my friends list in PSN and I can see, like 8 people playing Helldivers. And then I go into, the social tab on the game itself and there's nobody online, it says. I'm like, well, that's not right. So you should probably fix that.
So we've established workarounds, right? Like we're able to join games on PS5 via the PSN menu party and chat. Shit like that. Party chat. Yeah. That works. Mm-hmm. And luckily we've been able to do that because the game is so much fun. Holy shit. Yeah.
The one thing that bothers me is it's like they had time to nerf all the best shit, but not enough time to fix their damn friends list. It's like, come on, get your priorities straight now. It's like you're taking away some of the good shit, but
is Bungie making this?
I don't even realize that. well, they did nerf a few guns that were, granted, they were really powerful. But they were like, everybody's using these. And I'm like, yeah, that's because we can actually, succeed with them. Like, it's not about nerfing this shit. You got to buff everything else. Everything else sucks. All I need is the breaker shotgun and I'm good. It's like, why don't you make like the Liberator Penetrator? That was the name of the gun. It's like, make that a little better. It's like, why does that bounce off the fucking shields of the automatons? Like, make that actually go through their shields.
I don't know much about game development, shocker, but like I feel like it's easier for a dev team to nerf a couple of weapons and bring everything up in terms for balancing sake. I just feel like fixing a few weapons versus bringing everything up. It's just like you're just breaking so much stuff when you're introducing so many changes to so many items at once. So like I understand.
It's really about the situation. It's really about the situation of the game though.
Sure.
So like the situation of the game is there's 9 difficulty levels, right? There's 9 difficulty levels. And when you get up to the last 3, and you have to be in the last 3 to get the most rare samples that you need in order to upgrade your ship. And when you're in those last three, and I'll mainly talk about, you know, fighting the bugs, because I haven't played those last three with the automatons yet, because the automatons fucking suck. But when you're fighting with the bugs, there's two particular bugs that are like boss bugs. There's the Charger and there's the Bile Titan. And these things are difficult. They're hard. There are a couple of things that are quick kills for them. Like there's an orbital strike that does a railgun orbital strike. It'll one shot a Charger, but it takes 3.5 minutes to recharge. So you have to fall back on the weapons that you've got. And one of the weapons that actually did a semi decent job of taking out a Charger was the railgun, like the actual weapon, the railgun. But it would still take like two or three shots to get the armor off just so you could actually do enough damage to kill it. And then they nerfed that gun, so now it just pings off. Like, yeah. it just doesn't do anything.
Super fun.
Yeah, like the game is fantastic. Like I'm nitpicking here.
I played the first Helldivers, and I know that this jumped over to like, you know, third person versus right. the top down mechanic and everything. So I'm familiar with like the friendly fire and like the kind of like the sluggish controls a little bit and everything, like your heavier characters and such. Kind of, sort of ish.
Not so much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. But like, I feel that this game, and I have so much FOMO for this right now. And you guys have been like, you got to get it, you got to get it. And I have another group that's like, you got to get it. And I'm like, I don't have the faith in spending money on a game that is online only, because I feel like the second I play it, you guys are done.
I mentioned that earlier, that I think this has some staying power. I expect another 3 weeks at least.
Another 3 weeks at least.
Yeah. I think it's going to be more than that. Like I think there's going to be content where we could come back to this like throughout the year, but next few months at least. Like, so here's a few of the things that they do.
I have been peeking real quick, Chris. Sorry. I have noticed that like they are dripping content out in terms of like story content. Like they're dripping this like every time players reach a certain accolade.
And there's major wrap. Too. Like they haven't put out a roadmap. They've teased like additional enemies. The way that they're teasing one of the new enemies is they're sending down these blue bolts from the fucking heavens, and they're killing people every once in a while. And people are like, what the fuck is this? So it's like, oh shit, there's aliens, right? So that's their way of introducing new content and stuff. It's really cool. It's very funny.
And how are the maps? Like, are there multiple maps, or is it all place in one space?
Oh god,
no, it's multiple planets, different biomes. Yeah, it's and they're still adding mission types. Yep. Like, there's already a bunch of mission types, right? There's you know, if you go into like it opens up like this map of the galaxy. Well, not the galaxy, but like you see Earth, and then on one side of Earth is like where all the bugs are coming from, and then the other side of Earth is where all of the automatons are coming from. And there are two totally different sets of missions associated with each of those. But they like just they have these major orders that are like essentially quests for the entire community, right? So the one right now is that they want to liberate four planets, and there's a specific mission that they just released, Chris, that's associated with this major order.
Chris, we already completed that. I got my 50 fucking credits earlier today.
Let's finish the show so I can get mine.
Let's go.
What the hell? I'm done. No, but yeah, each major order, and that's like he just said, there was last night when we were playing, there was one, it was like they were liberate four planets. There was one left. So, you know, the community gets on and they get shit done, and then everybody gets a big ass reward. You know, it's really cool the way they do it. And then every day there's a new daily objective, and the daily objective will get you like 15 medals. And then they're constantly releasing the war bonds, and the war bonds are basically like a collection of equipment and emotes and things like that you can purchase with the medals. And the premium war bonds are the ones that one of the things that we were concerned about with this game was having to do the microtransactions.
Right.
However, you don't need to do it that way in order to open up the premium war bonds. The new war bond that just came out yesterday, I opened it up with the 1,000 super credits, and I never put any additional money into it. Mm-hmm. So you can find that shit. And even in the regular war bonds, in each page of the war bond, there's super credits that you can buy from medals. So you can build up your super credits that way in order to buy the war bonds.
So they're doing all the microtransactions you can get with this.
Yeah.
And it's been really satisfying. I've given them extra money. Because I believe in them. So
all right,
it's been a great time. There's always funny moments. Jeff posted a couple of our moments from yesterday. we were playing with Sniper, and what ended up happening on that first video that you guys might have seen is we're running, and there's always like these points of interest, right? In the map, there's always points of interest, and you can go in and check them out. And it could be like a currency, or it could be a heavy weapon that may be dropped or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's one that's like like you see essentially the door of the back of like a tractor trailer, you know, cargo box, and you throw a grenade at it, and it blows the door off and you get the shit out. Well, some of those have like explosive barrels that are just laying next to it.
Yep.
So I was running ahead of Jeff and Sniper, and I turn around, throw a grenade at the door to open the door. And it sets off one of the barrels, and all of a sudden, I see Sniper coming down the hill, and the barrel blew up, and he went flying. And I was like, "Oh God, damn it!" But yeah,
those it's like you get so many lives. Like they encourage that shit. You get like 20 different fucking lives, and it's super easy to throw another like a stratagem down to reinforce your dudes.
And you get five lives per player.
Yeah.
So it's great. If you have four players, you get 20 lives. Yep. And it's, you know, it's.
If you die, big deal.
It's really good.
It's funny, no big deal. More than anything.
Okay.
And then even when you run out of lives, like you're not actually out of lives. So if you run out of lives and people are still alive, then every 2 minutes it gives you an additional reinforcement. So you run out of the 20 and then you wait 2 minutes and you can reinforce another one. And then the clock ticks again and it'll build up another one. So if someone dies, as long as you've gotten through that 20 minutes, you get another one.
Extremely generous and forgiving. Yeah.
Yeah. And so many like cool weapons. We were running around yesterday. We were taking out some of the automatons. And I heard Sniper say, fucking Chris looks like Emperor Palpatine. I was using the arc.
You killed me with that fucking arc one time.
Son of a bitch. So there's an arc thrower, and it's essentially a lightning gun. And the lightning chains from enemy to enemy. It also chains from enemy to friend. So you have to make sure that you're looking at that. So I just remember I was like the first time I used it, I was playing with Jason and I shot a bug and didn't realize that it was going to do this. But you see it go straight at the bug and then it goes 90 degrees to the right and goes right at Jason. I'm like, oh, fuck.
One shot death. I'm done.
One shot dead. But it's like it's so good. You know, there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of, it's a lot of fun and it gets very, very hard. It's very challenging.
Do you remember Magicka back in the day?
Oh, Magicka with the four wizards. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's same developer. So it's that kind of chaos. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
And it is definitely chaotic, especially on the harder difficulties. Like there are, like it's gotten pretty close to controller throwing hard on some of those higher difficulties.
Oh, yeah. You can't throw some money at the situation. It might get easier, Chris.
I put in all my super credits. I'm good.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
This is important for me, especially in online shooters. How's the character progression? Is it enough to make you feel like you are steadily improving, or is it kind of like a slower drip?
So the progression is done in two different ways. So there's progression for your ship and then there's progression for the character. The progression for the character You go up levels, and going up levels makes new stratagems available. And the stratagem is basically anything that the ships, that your ship can send down to you while you're in a mission. So it could be heavy weapons, it could be orbital or orbital strikes, it can be flybys and like air support, turrets. All that stuff is a stratagem.
And all that shit comes pretty quick.
It can come pretty and you use the there's a currency that you use in order to unlock that stuff, and then as you unlock it, you can bring four of those with you down to the planet, to the mission. One of the cool things is you're not restricted to only the things that you bring with you. So like I know that early on when Jason was starting, I was already, I think I was already over level 20. So level 20 is where at the time everything was unlocked for you, and you could, and you can go back and you could buy all the stratagems. And, I know I was able to get like a level 20 backpack and drop it down for him, and he could use it at level two.
That was great.
So it doesn't, you don't have to be that level to use it. You just have to be that level to unlock it and bring it with you. So that makes it a bit more friendly. But yeah, there's like one of my favorite things is the fucking laser backpack. There's like this fucking rover. Yeah, there's like a drone that follows you around and just lasers the shit out of everything that's near you.
It's great. It's such a good defensive tool, because it's like you don't see the enemy, but all of a sudden you see your rover shooting something off in the distance. It's like, oh,
yeah,
let me turn that direction. That's where everyone is.
Yep.
It's great.
The turrets the same way. It's like the turrets will find something and then, you know, turn around and start having to fire. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, Travis. I highly suggest you get it. We can do a Helldivers night, man. We can make it happen.
I'm not playing Unicorn Overlord, I'll think about it. But that
another game I have that I have to
play. Same.
I think Chris may have gotten it. I'm not Chris. Jeff.
Jeff got it.
Jeff is going to fucking hate this game. Jeff's going to hate it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I bought it and haven't played it yet either. So.
It's pretty great so far. I really like what it is. So first and foremost, it's
vanilla. I think I didn't play the demo long enough, to be honest with you.
Right. Okay. So you got the gist of how that game
works. Yeah. I just don't think I got far enough into it to understand like some of the strategy that actually goes into it. Like it's more of a setup and watch it happen. And I didn't really get far enough into the demo to see like all the intricacies of how that shit worked.
Yeah, in the very beginning, it definitely makes you feel like you're in a non-grid based strategy RPG, like a standard fair strategy RPG. But no, like you're kind of like you have like free roam to kind of like go across the battlefield, and once you connect with your enemies, it zooms into like the really beautiful art style. And it, like Chris said, like you essentially just play your characters on the field and auto battle happens. And then that's where you have a plethora, and a plethora is a, that is an understatement, because there is a, Chris brought up Final Fantasy possibly giving him like some sort of anxiety. You know, there's too much to do. This is too overwhelming. This game is overwhelming. It is. And I don't think I have the wires in my head to sit down and say like, all right, I have eight teams that I need to put, you know, six players on a 2x3 board.
Oh shit.
So I can build their team. And then I have to kit them out with all of their gear. And then on top of that, I have to make sure. Now, if you guys remember Final Fantasy 12, that had a gambit system where essentially you're just writing scripts for all your characters. And once you walk on an enemy, it'll just auto battle. If you have it done right, it'll auto battle for you. There's a boss at the end of Final Fantasy 12 that was like a 2-hour, 3-hour boss fight, but you could auto play it. You could just have it sit and then it'll eventually die. That system is in here. So that's how the auto battle plays out. So you have multiple different classes. I mean, so far, I mean, I'm 20 hours into the game and I have seen well over 20 classes. Each have different, you know, weaknesses. They use a paper, rock, scissors type situation for combat, like most strategy RPGs. it is, so like there are parts of it that feel standard fare strategy. And then there are other parts that are like, okay, I'm seeing synergies of Final Fantasy 12 and other games like Fire Emblem and stuff like that. It's a very, very competent strategy game, and strategy is in bold, man. It's because right now I am having fun with the game and I'm winning my battles, but I don't feel like I'm playing right. I feel like my characters could be better. They could be synergizing more. I could set up one character to attack the back row if the enemy's health points are below 40%, or like you can set all this stuff up, and it's like, damn, I don't have the wires. I don't have I don't know what. I don't have it to sit here. Now I can go and watch a wizard on a YouTube video sit there and conjure up these amazing, you know, builds and teams and stuff like that and copy those. But man, I'm telling you, there is a lot to this game. Mm-hmm. I hope Jeff is listening, and I hope he hasn't opened it yet. Jeff, I don't think you're going to like this game.
I don't think it matters to him. It's about it being VanillaWare.
I mean, that makes sense. And VanillaWare shines. And VanillaWare shines in this game. And yeah, it's the razzle dazzle is spectacular. I mean, there are beautiful looking characters with impossible large heaving breasts. It's VanillaWare. We know what they're all about. And
that's where we're going. All right. And lots of fan service, you know, that kind of thing.
And like, there's a huge variety of characters. They tell a shit ton of story. And like, the overall plot is a basic, we're rebels, we're at war, the Empire controls the entire war, and we have the world. We have to, like, piece by piece, continent by continent, take over each town. So each town's a battle, and there are like tertiary battles that are surrounding it, and side missions and bonus stages and bonus fights that you can do. That are all there. And there's so much to this game. If you're running low on characters, you can go to a fort and you can recruit them. Each fort have different types at different levels of characters. So like, you can really, they gave you like a sandbox for combat that I've never seen before in a strategy RPG. It is one of the most robust, and it is daunting. It is a daunting task, but I am enjoying this game. It hasn't been too difficult. I'm playing on the normal difficulty. So I feel like I'm steadily progressing, but there's just like this anxiety in the back of my head. That's like, you're not playing right. You're just not doing it right. You need to figure out, you know, better ways to play it. And I try to do it and I try to dig into it, and it's just anxiety all day. So, I don't know if I'm going to finish this game. I'm sure as hell going to try. Wow, that's really big.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. So audio listeners, Chris is holding up.
What was this called? I can't remember. The Monarch Edition.
Monarch.
So this was actually on it was still available on Amazon. I was like, oh, if it's available, I'm going to go ahead and get it.
Okay.
It comes with a full-fledged fucking card game.
Interesting.
So that's why I ended up getting it. Well, that, and I had like $100 worth of Amazon credit. So I was like, all right, let's do it. So I know better than to spend that much money on something that I'm not even sure if I'm going to like, but some of the inclusions in here were really cool. Like, there's a, like, you can see right there. It's like an actual card game that comes with it.
Oh, wow.
So that's really gorgeous. Cool stuff.
The audio listeners are going to love this section of the podcast.
So Travis, it's all well and good, but you know what? I don't fucking care. What I want to know is, how good does the food look?
It is VanillaWare after all. I mean, it's very important.
I need to know.
So how they make the food be hand-drawn, but still, like, when they slide it on the table, how it jiggles.
Yes.
I don't understand how they were able to. It's like that. It's the Kojima puppet. Like, okay. I don't understand how they got the puppet to work. Like, how did they get that to work like that? Don't understand it. It's gorgeous. And then like, you have to mash a button. To eat the food, and the food just like the bites just go.
Oh my god!
And you clear the table. It's great.
That's a good sound effect. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sold. Let's go.
The game is great. You just have to shut your mind off to the fact that like, there are more efficient ways to play, but there are, I think, maybe like a 2 percentile of people in the world that are going to be able to really tap into how powerful you can make these characters with this system. It's impressive, sure. But it is daunting. But I really enjoy it so far. Couldn't tell you if I'm going to beat it. Time will tell.
Mm. Yeah.
Boys.
Yes.
Yes.
I am playing Dragon's Dogma 2.
What?
The character creator. Oh, you got
it early. Excellent. Oh, the character creator.
So I'm very curious. How many hours have you put into the character creator?
So I put in 8 hours just on making me.
What?
Making like a likeness of my face. Just oh, 8 hours. Shit. But then I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to put any more hours into this. And then I realized I have to make a pawn.
Oh,
I forgot about that. My God. So I took about 4 hours today. And I made my wife, who's going to be my pawn for the game. Just like in real life. How about that?
Is it a cat?
Anyway.
So you put 12 hours into Dragon's Dogma and it's not even out yet.
I think my timer says 11.
That's give so much better.
Give or take. Yeah.
But I feel like I'm not the only one because there are reports online that a lot of people are sinking tens of hours into this game.
Honestly, though, it sounds like it's super robust, like the amount of stuff you can do.
It's very robust. And I got super, super lucky creating my wife's character because I don't know what it is, but I nailed it almost first shot. And she looked at it. She's like, holy crap. Like, how did you make it look that good? Like, that's crazy. So, I have both of our characters kind of ready. I'm still going to tinker. I'll probably put another hour's tinkering into it. We got, 4 days left until that game comes out? Shit.
Whenever my birthday is.
Oh, it's like 5 or 6 days, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But I'm pumped for it, man. The character creator is fun. I recommend everybody give it a shot and try it out. But it's I watched the latest... 7 or 8 minute little documentary they had. It was they had narration by Ian McShane.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and it was a really, Jason, you'll be doubly hyped.
Shit.
It's a great,
I'm
great,
already
great little
super
doc.
Fucking hyped. So
I can't wait.
It's
man.
Good thing you finished Final Fantasy already, Jason.
Yep,
for sure.
That was kind of in the back of my head, thinking I gotta clear out for Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you did it. You made it to the game.
No.
You made it to the big one. And then finally, I'm just playing more Yakuza. I tried playing Yakuza 0. Every tier list, every person on Reddit is like, that's Yakuza 0 high. It's the best of all of Kiryu's journeys. It's the best game.
It's a good You're gonna story.
I don't know, man. It's too old or something.
I'm with you. The first time that I'm like, wait, I can't buy 99 of these potions? What the fuck?
Yeah.
That I have limited inventory. What the hell?
Yeah, some of that stuff. Like, I'm okay with. Like, I'm okay with like getting past the barrier of entry of like the old style stuff. Like, your hunger. Like, you can't. Yep. Like, you can overfill yourself and stuff like that. Like, I'm used to that, and it's fine. And I'm glad it's mostly gone. Or at least they give you abilities to get rid of it completely if you want to. So that's great. But I just couldn't get into it. Like, even like the map was turning me off. I was like, oh, it's just not good looking. Like, I actually find these games somewhat visually attractive, and I just wasn't feeling it with Yakuza 0. And I maybe put 10, 12 hours into it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to that tier list and I'm going to find one that ranks just as high or really high up. And the answer was Kiwami 2. So I jumped into that. 15 hours into that, and I gotta tell you, it is a vast improvement for me, a vast improvement over 0 in every way. It's still a little behind. This game came out in like 2016, 2017, at least when the Kiwami remake came out. And it is, I like it better than 0, but like at the end of the day, I kind of realized that like I like Judgment and Lost Judgment better than the Yakuza. Better than the arcade-y brawling games. I'm all in on the JRPG version of Yakuza, like from here on out. Like, that's all I want. But Lost Judgment's really, really good. So the entire time I'm playing Yakuza 0, Kiwami 2, I'm playing these. I just want more Lost Judgment because I feel like they nail the Yakuza feel and also bring more to it since your character's a lawyer and a private investigator. It's just more interesting than Kiryu being a, you know, ex-Yakuza again and again and again. Sure. Yeah. So Jason, if you haven't played Judgment or Lost Judgment, give it a shot, dude. I'm telling you, man, it's
probably halfway down my list, like, of things that I want to hit. Yakuza wise, like, I really think I want to hit like the man with no name or the man who erased his name.
Yep.
Because that kind of leads into Infinite Wealth.
Ichiban.
Yep. So I might kind of go, and I've dabbled in Yakuza Zero, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm just, it's old. It's kind of dated. So,
yep.
But I'm with you. Yeah. And I might give Kiwami 2 a try.
I apologize to them out there. There was a commenter on last week's episode or a couple of weeks ago that said that try out 5 and 6. They like them a lot. And I think I'm going to jump into 6 after Kiwami 2. Song of Life looks like Song there's going to be enough. Yeah, it looks like there's going to be enough quality of life in there to get me. And then that is going to be a great lead in into The Man Who Erased His Name. And then, you know, I'll be up to date.
We've been feasting on Yakuza shit.
We have.
That's great.
We have. It's my favorite soap opera now, like, without a doubt. Like, I need it every year. I need my new season of my soap opera. So, but that's it for me, guys. That's all I'm playing.
Gotta watch my stories.
Hell yeah.
Is that a show, guys? We got more
games? I think so. I think all we got is games, right? So I don't have anything else to add. Jason, anything else?
No, I'm good. Knocking cool. Shit over.
Well, then we'll wrap this up and we'll get over to playing some more games. Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. Like, subscribe, and comment. Those things help us a lot. Check out our link tree at interactivedistractions.com. That will also link you to our Discord. Come by and hang out and chat with us. And our Patreon if you want to support us. Other than that, you can also follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Chris, Unistrike, and Travis DeBomb. But that's it. That's a show. So until next time, my name is Chris.
All lowercase.
And I'm Travis.
Play your games and we'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.